It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
I've entitled this podcast Conversations Toward Discovery, and I intend it as a helpful supplement or explanation for the series Reclaiming Forgiveness. Because in the last decade or more, my discussions about the nature and practice of forgiveness have been lively. It's amazing how often the subject comes up. A conversation might be around a meal or cups of coffee, and a statement is made about forgiveness. For example, someone may say, "I've forgiven them and then moved on," or "I'm having trouble forgiving myself." The question is then asked gently, of course, "What do you mean you've forgiven and moved on? Was the relationship rebuilt?" Or, "On what do you base this idea, this concept of self-forgiveness?" Frequently, the response describes what the person heard or read, sometimes from a Christian source, so-called. I then attempt to draw the discussion into what the Bible says about forgiveness. I may say something like, "Forgiveness needs both parties to," or "Forgiveness isn't just about me, it's about us." And that triggers looks of puzzlement and statements such as this, "That's not what I believe," or "I've been told that," or "How can that be?" Of course, any of us will react this way when we're challenged on something we thought we understood. At this point, some people shut down or walk away. Not many. Most people engage. Forgiveness is so important to us that we need to know we've got it right. As the conversation develops, people read their Bibles, and the engagement between the holy text and personal belief gets turned up. For many, they have never examined what the Bible says about forgiveness. Often, this is the first time their ideas and practices have been brought into question. The apostolic statement is introduced to the conversation. Both Ephesians 4:32 and Colossians 3:13 talk about forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Then I might ask, "What does that tell you about how we are to forgive?" And the response is, "Well, we're to forgive just like God. God forgave me." "Okay, and how and when did God forgive you?" "Well, I can tell you when I first experienced God's forgiveness, I had this profound sense of my need for forgiveness, and I admitted that to God. It was then that I received Jesus Christ. But how is that relevant to how I forgive another person?" "Okay, well, let's explore that. Would you agree that God always loved you, but that God had not always forgiven you?" To which the person responds, "Well, yes, I know that God always loves me. John 3:16 tells me this, 'For God so loved the world.' But as I said, I was forgiven when I admitted my need to God and I received Jesus Christ." I might follow up with, "Let's listen to your experience. You're telling us how God in Christ forgave you, right? Your admission of your need for forgiveness is the language of repentance. That's your experience of making a radical change of direction regarding how you see your sin, yourself, God, and Christ." The person comes back with something like, "I understand, at least in theory, that I'm supposed to love others all the time, but are you saying that forgiveness doesn't take place until the wrongdoer has a change of heart about what has broken our relationship and somehow admits that to me? Well, isn't that how God in Christ forgave you?" "I suppose it is. But that raises a lot of questions." "Indeed it does." As the conversation develops, there are those who have aha moments when they get it. People around the table begin to see, perhaps for the first time, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the model of forgiveness God has designed for rebuilding our relationships with Him and our relationship with each other. This can be an exhilarating experience of discovery. Conversations like this tell me two things. First, for many in our modern Western culture, true or biblical forgiveness is largely unknown and unpracticed. In its place, counterfeits masquerade under the names of therapeutic or unilateral. They call themselves forgiveness, but they really aren't. It makes promises like removing the pain of broken relationships and enabling life in the loneliness of alienation. The pain and dysfunction are real, no doubt about that. But the proposed remedy of these counterfeits is not. Second, there is a desire to understand and practice true forgiveness. To deal with brokenness as God deals with it, to rebuild relationships as God rebuilds them. This way is costly and painful, but it's worth it. It involves vulnerability, and it may end in rejection. It calls us to love, and that means patience, humility, truth, bearing all things, hoping all things, enduring all things. It's inviting, like those qualities we read about in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8. Isn't that God's love? Isn't that how God loved us? God designed us for relationship, and we yearn for community. Biblical forgiveness enables and sustains real relationship and genuine community. This series is called Reclaiming Forgiveness. I use the word reclaiming intentionally, not discover. We can discover something without reclaiming it. For example, you may discover a key left on the ground, but that doesn't mean you pick it up and use it. We need to reclaim forgiveness. We need to pick up the key and put it into practice. Reclaiming forgiveness implies we have lost something of the teaching and practice of forgiveness. Two of the leading causes for this loss are loosening grips on our biblical doctrine and increasing seep of culture. Brad Wagoner refers to this cultural seepage as, quote, the incipient invasion of ideas, perspectives, and beliefs that are contrary to a biblical worldview, end quote. So here's a question for you. Is your understanding and practice of forgiveness cultural, or is it biblical? A renewed attention to biblical teaching or doctrine is needed to recover biblical living. James K.A. Smith has stated that biblical teaching or theology is not some intellectual option that makes us smart Christians. It's the graced understanding that makes us faithful disciples. So here are three things you can do. Number one, prayerfully examine what you believe and practice about forgiveness. Let the holy text of Scripture be the authority in this matter. Be responsive in bringing your ideas, perspectives, and beliefs into alignment with what our God says. Consider beginning with a passage such as the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15, verses 11 to 32. This is an illustration of the dynamic of forgiveness. Included are the breakup, the exclusion, the father's love and the son's change of heart, the embrace and the celebration of a relationship brought back to life. Another illustration is David reading 2 Samuel 11 to 12 in accordance with Psalm 51 and then Psalm 32. Test your beliefs and your practices of forgiveness against the model of the gospel, Ephesians 4 verse 32, Colossians 3 verse 13. Ask whether your beliefs and practices are consistent with what God in Christ has done and is doing. Secondly, you may want to listen to the podcasts or reread the posts. Click Reclaiming Forgiveness. That's the first podcast and the first post in this series. Feel free to write me with your challenges, questions, comments at jmacdonald@outreach.ca or through my website at johnbmacdonald.com. Third, identify relationships that need to be rebuilt in your life. As you renew and refresh your practices of forgiveness, identify those relationships that need to be rebuilt or nurtured because they have been broken, damaged, or neglected. Pray and take the necessary action. Do you need to experience a change of heart and go to the other like the prodigal son? Do you need to invite a change of heart from the other and be ready to embrace like the prodigal's father? Through all of this, might you never be the same. May you be blessed and a blessing to others.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.